Good morning. Today's Daf and Sukkah, Chaf Zayin. We start with the Mishnah Chavav Amud Beis here in the second half of the second parak of Sukkah. We are discussing the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. So there is a mitzvah for the 7 days of Sukkah to be in the Sukkah, to eat in the Sukkah, to sleep in the Sukkah. And so we are covering basic details regarding the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. The Mishnah we saw yesterday started with the Peturim. Who is exempt from the mitzvah of Sukkah? One quick correction, not yesterday, but 2 days ago, the Mishnah Chaf Hamad Aleph. So it gave us three categories of people who are going to receive an exemption from the mitzvah. Number one is Shluchei Mitzvah. If you're en route to doing a mitzvah, so you are now under the category of Osek B'Mitzvah, Patam Mitzvah. Primarily in Daf Chafei, we discuss that very topic. Number two, Cholin Umisham Shehen. Somebody who's sick and somebody who's attending to the sick, so they're also going to be exempt from the Sukkah. So, and the Gemara points out, not only a chola sheyesh bo sakana, but even a chola sheim bo sakana, even a mitzayer. And finally, ochlin v'shos narei chutz l'sukkah, that if you're not having a seuda kavua, a fixed meal, a meal that is substantial, so that doesn't have to be eaten in the sukkah, even if it's bread, but it's not a substantial amount, so that you can eat outside of the sukkah. That is the point of the Mishnah. What is a seuda that is not kavua? What's considered a makeshift meal? So we go back to yesterday's daf, the chavav amud aleph towards the bottom of the amud. So machlokus amarim, exactly what it would be, what it would mean to have a meal that's not substantial. Now, mind you, by the way, just as a quick reminder, we're not talking about that it's not enough bread that you don't wash and you don't make a bracha rishona and you don't make a bracha achrona. It just simply means that it's not kavu enough where it's going to demand that you have to eat in the sukkah. In other words, eating in the sukkah has to be something which is really fixed and permanent. Right, yesterday's daf we talked about snacking and napping, right? So if you're just snacking, so that doesn't demand, that doesn't require you to be in the sukkah. It will require you to wash and to make motzi and to bench. It's just simply, in other words, it's a snack, and the mitzvah of sukkah is only when you're having a significant amount of food. If you just as a quick reminder of yesterday, when we said when it comes to napping, however, napping you can't do outside the sukkah. Again, sleeping outside the sukkah, unfortunately, this is not a modern phenomenon. This has been around for a long time. So we, the Jewish people, right, I feel a little uncomfortable even reporting, but it's just a reality. This for hundreds and hundreds of years, the Jewish people have not been sleeping in the sukkah. As I pointed out yesterday, in Eretz Yisrael, it has made a strong comeback, but whatever. And here in America, some do, some don't. I don't have the statistics, but anyway, but even a nap, let's just deal with the Gemara and the Ikar Halacha, even a nap you have to do in the sukkah. And now the reason why the Gemara ended up explaining yesterday is that when it comes to napping, there's no such thing as a Shenas Arai, meaning every sleep that you do is considered Keva. That's the Lumdus of Ravo that we saw in yesterday's daf. But meanwhile, when it comes to eating, so we're making a very clear distinction between what is considered a snack versus what's considered a sudas kavua. And the difference over here is not what you eat, it's the quantity, it's how much you eat. So if you go back to yesterday's daf, so the Gemara brought down a machlokus between the Amoraim, exactly what is considered achilas arai. According to Rav Yosef, tarte utlas be'i, 2 to 3 volumes of egg. In other words, you have bread, and it's a lot of bread, meaning certainly would require you to wash and bracha rishona, obviously, and bench also, right? The Gemara in the 7th Perek of Bracha says that you bench over kezias. So over here, you're having 2 to 3 volumes of an egg. That's significant. But according to Rav Yosef, it's significant, but it's not considered a seuda kavua that's going to require you to have a sukkah. And according to Abaye says, what do you mean? People eat that much. According to Abaye, the amount of food that normally the yeshiva man on his way to shir, so he wants to take a quick bite in the morning so that he's not gonna, you know, so he won't be distracted, he won't be famished over the course of the morning. That's how much food we're talking about. So granted, the Gemara doesn't give a quantity, but it's going to be less than the shir given by Rav Yosef. Anyway, certainly the point of the last couple of days is that on the third exemption of the Mishnah, back on Chafei, so if you're having just a snack and you're not having a fixed meal, that doesn't require a sukkah. With that stated, now we open up with our next Mishnah. And as the Gemara is going to point out, what we're about to learn in this Mishnah seems to go against what we said one Mishnah earlier. So Rav Yochum and Zaka was introduced to taste of food. Taste of food just simply means have a little bit. And Rami Gamliel was invited to have a couple of dates and some water. The Amru, now they said, Halam Lasukkah. Okay, great, it's Sukkah, so let's go to the Sukkah. Now, even though neither of them are having a Sudas Kavua, nevertheless, they both insisted that they should go up to the Sukkah. Ukishinasan lo Rabbi Tzadok. So, and they gave to Rabbi Tzadok, Ocho Pachos Mechabetza. So, Rabbi Tzadok ate less than a shear of a kabetza, and helped himself, Rabbi Tzadok, to three kulas, three leniencies. Number one, not luma mapa, so he didn't wash his hands. In other words, despite the fact that he was eating bread, he didn't wash his hands. Number two, ba'achul chutz sukkah, he ate it outside the sukkah. It was sukkah, and he felt that it wasn't a suda kavua, and so therefore he ate outside the sukkah. And finally, v'lo bir chacharav, he didn't bench afterwards. He didn't feel that it was enough to bench. Okay, so three kulas he helped himself to. Let's just quickly run through the Rashi. So Rashi writes over here, what does it mean that he didn't wash his hands? So Rashi writes, not lo b'mapa, I'm reading the Rashi. Lo natal yadav ela karach b'mapa yadav mishum nikios. So he wrapped up his hands, but just as a cleanliness issue. Okay, it happens to be, you know, of recently we've been much more sensitized to hygiene. So over here, it was a cleanliness issue. It was nikios. So the kazaver, because Rashi points out that Rabbi Tzadok holds the following. Okay, in other words, that you don't have to wash your hands when you're eating the amount of bread that is less than a kibetza. Now, lahalach, we don't hold that way, but that's the shita of Rabbi Tzadok, and that's why he didn't wash his hands. He wrapped it up, and it just has to do with the kias. On this point, you can see the top tosos over here. He doesn't accept the way Rashi presented it. But anyway, right now, we're going to go through Rashi. And v'lo by sukkah, v'lo by birchos hamazon lachrav. Now it doesn't require sukkah, so we know why it doesn't require sukkah, because it's not a suda kavua. It's not a fixed meal. And now as far as benching is concerned, why didn't Rabbi Tzadok bench afterwards? Rashi says, because he holds like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. The darshka Rabbi Yehuda, v'chalta v'savata v'rachta achila sheish basviya, v'hainu kebeitza. Avalafanav, sorry, that's another point in Rashi I'll get to in just a moment. So in order to bench, you have to have a kedei svia, and Rabbi Tzadok was of the position that if it's less than a beitza, it's not going to satiate you, and therefore there's no requirement to bench. And presumably, not even midrabanan, meaning, right, it seems to be the simple point of the Mishnah, is that he didn't bench at all, which means that according to Rabbi Tzadok, and at least his understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, there's not even a requirement to bench midrabanan. Again, we don't hold that way. The avalafan of becholdu by bracha shareinena vasolanos menolam azeh below bracha. Rashi finally reminds us that of course he made a bracha rishona, but as far as making a bracha rishona is concerned, so that is based on the opening daf of the sixth parak of brachos, where the gemara there says that you are not allowed to get any hana in this world without a bracha. So even though you're eating a mashu, but you're eating a mashu and you're benefiting, so for that you have to make a bracha rishona. Good. So those are the three kulas of Rabbi Tzadok when he ate less than a kebetz on Sukkos. So number one, he did not wash his hands. He just simply wrapped his hands up. Rashi says, just for purposes of cleanliness. Number two, he ate outside the Sukkah. Number three, he didn't bench afterwards. Okay. Now, we go back, the Gemara is going to start back to the beginning of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that let's not focus on Rabbi Tzadok right now. Let's focus on Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel. And even though they are not having a meal that's kavua, they insisted to go into the sukkah. What? With one Mishnah earlier, we said that they're putter from the sukkah. So obviously that's where the Gemara starts the discussion. Maisa listor. The story that was just told in this Mishnah goes against what we learned in the previous Mishnah. So chesur mechzav achi katani. The Gemara says, you're right. And what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to fill in a blank, meaning that there's another point encrypted in the Mishnah. And now the Gemara is just simply teasing it out. And that is, in you want to be machmer even though you are not obligated to go into the sukkah, but if you want to opt in to do so as a chumrah, so over here you're allowed to do so. And over here it does not smack of religious arrogance, right? There are a number of times where the Gemara says is that there is no requirement to do so, and if you go ahead and you do so, so that gives off the sense that you are religiously arrogant. That's what's called yuara. And the Gemara says that you shouldn't engage in that behavior. And there are occasions where the Gemara says, look, it's a chumrah, but if you want to help yourself to it, that's fine. And it doesn't smack of religious arrogance. It definitely requires a lot more thought and a lot more time to develop. Like, when is it okay to be machmer? When is it not okay to be machmer? Right? Meaning yesh v'yesh. Obviously, there are times where it's acceptable and times when unacceptable. And it definitely requires a lot more thought, not for our purposes right now, to try to figure when is appropriate, when not. So umaisa nami, and now we go back to the Mishnah, and now the Mishnah is a follow-up to that point, which is you have the right to be machmir in the mitzvah of sukkah. Umaisa nami ve'vilo l'Rav Yochanan Zakkai l'Thomas Atashlo Gamliel shtei kosafos v'dlisha mayim v'amr helam l'sukkah ukishenasan l'Rabbi Tzadok ochal pachos michabetsa nalu b'mapa v'achlu chutz l'sukkah v'labir chacharav. Okay, good, and that brings us to our Mishnah, which is that you're allowed to be machmir.
Can
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's more, right. It seems a little more foolish in nature over here. You're eating.
But if not, it's just to go.
Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, now Rabbi Tzadok, we see the following with Rabbi Tzadok, aside from that, the fact that he helped himself to three kulas, and the halacha does not abide by these three kulas, but what the Gemara points out, however, is that we are given a threshold. Meaning on the issue of achila sukkah, achila arai. So we just learned together in our mission that Rabbi Tzadok would eat it outside of the sukkah because he felt that a beitza, anything less than a beitza is considered arai. The Gemara says, really, that's so interesting. So let's go back to yesterday's daf. So the Gemara says, hake beitza by sukkah, lema tavitu yofta de Rav Yosef ve'abaye. So the Gemara says, well, it's going to be a kasha both on Rav Yosef and Abaye. Now on Abaye, I'm not sure. Meaning, Abai didn't really give a shear. Rabbi just simply said, you know, when the Ben Torah, when the Ben Yeshiva goes to, and he runs to the Yeshiva. So, and how much eats then? So he doesn't give a shear. So I'm not really sure if it's such a question on Abai, but certainly on Rav Yosef, it's a kasha, because Rav Yosef said that you could be eating two or three eggs worth of bread, and that's considered, that's still considered achilas arai. And in our Mishnah, we're learning that anything above a beitza is considered achilas keva. So certainly, our Mishnah is keneged the shita of Yosef. So the Gemara says, "Dilma pachus micha beitza netila bracha lo bai hakebeitza by netila bracha." So the Gemara says, "Look, I'll defend Rav Yosef. It's a little bit of a stretch, but we'll defend Rav Yosef, and we'll say that the threshold of being under a kebeitza versus a kebeitza or over." Is going to affect the other two halachas in the Mishnah. Remember, there are three halachas that Rabbi Tzadok took an unusual position. So, but maybe in terms of the threshold of being under versus over a beitza, maybe that affected the other halachas. Not right, washing your hands, benching, but maybe as far as the mitzvah of yeshiva besukah is concerned, so that's not going to be the benchmark. Okay, could be. So, and fine. It's a way of defending Rav Yosef. It's certainly not the simple pshat of the Mishnah. Simple pshat of the Mishnah is that kebeitza is going to affect all three of the halachas that Rabbi Tzadok helped himself to. Okay, but in defense of Rav Yosef, you could say that. Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. We're now starting with the Mishnah, and we're going to learn about the requirement of eating in the sukkah. And is it are you obligated every day to eat in the sukkah? Or alternatively, you're not obligated to eat every day in the sukkah if it just happens to be that. If you want to have a meal, and the meal is going to be a sudas kavua, then you need to go into the sukkah. Is the mitzvah more chiyuvi in nature? Is it obligatory or is it kiyumi? It just happens to be that if you're going to put yourself in that opportunity, in that position, so therefore you're going to have to go into the sukkah. It's not much different than on Pesach when it comes to the mitzvah of matzah. I'm not talking about the first night. We're talking about every subsequent meal. Do you have to have matzah on Pesach? No, you don't have to have matzah. But if you want to eat bread, it has to be unleavened. It has to be what we call matzah. So it's similar in nature. Good. That is our discussion. Let's begin with a Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Abbas, Reisudas Chayav Adam Lechol B'Sukkah, Achas B'Yom V'Achas B'Layla. So Rabbi Eliezer says that for the 7 days of Sukkah, so one is required, obligated, to eat two meals a day in the Sukkah, two meals a day, 7 days of Sukkah. That comes out to 14 meals in total. And the Chachamim say, though, no, that's simply not required. Meaning there's no obligation to eat in the sukkah. It's just simply optional. It's volitional. If you want to eat, you got to eat in the sukkah. But there's no obligation. With notable exception to the first night. First night of sukkahs, according to the Chachamim, one is obligated to eat in the sukkah for reasons which we're going to articulate in the Gemara. V'od amar Rav Elazar. And Rav Elazar says that on top of that, I have another shita. What's the second shita, Rav Elazar? Misha lo achal yom tov, lele yom tov arishon yashlem, lele yom tov achron shochag. That let's say you missed a meal, so then you're allowed, and not only allowed, required to do tashlumim. Now, the idea behind tashlumim, when we get to Masechta Chagiga, we're going to speak much more about the idea of tashlumim. The idea is that on Yantav, you're required to bring a karban. Fundamentally, principally, you bring the karban on the first day of Yantav. Which karban are we talking about? So every Yantav, you're required to bring a Olas Re'ia, Shame Chagiga, Shame Simcha. Again, when we get to Chagiga, we'll do this much more detail. But anyway, so a person is obligated to bring karbanos on Yantav. Principally, you should be bringing on the first day. What if you didn't bring on the first day? So you have an idea, a concept called tashlumim. Oh, you didn't bring on the first day, so you have makeups. You have makeup days. How many makeup days do you have? Seven. You have seven makeup days, meaning for the balance of Yantav, so you have a makeup day. Even on Shavuos, by the way, again, when we get to Chagiga, we'll discuss this in more detail. Even on Shavuos, where Shavuos is only a one-day Yantav, nevertheless, you still have days of tashlumim. There are still makeup days in which you can bring the karban and fulfill your obligation of havas karban on Yantav. What Rabbi Eliezer is saying over here in our Mishnah is that that's not just true by karban, it's also true by the meals as well. If you missed a meal, remember you're supposed to have 14, so if you missed a meal, you can make it up. When are you going to be making it up? Oddly enough, you're going to be making it up on Shemini Atzeres. Now that's really odd, and the Gemara is going to make this point. That's really odd because in Shemini Atzeres, where are you eating? So you're in your house. Now, I know it's confusing. We eat Shemini Atzeres in the Sukkah. That's based on a Gemara that we're going to be seeing a couple weeks from now. But that's because we're in Galus and the Sfeika Diyuma. We're going to come to that later. In the meantime, however, Eretz Yisrael, one day, so you're not eating Shemini Atzeres in the Sukkah. You're eating outside the Sukkah. You're eating in your home. And that now is going to be serving as a makeup meal from Sukkah. That's really strange. The Gemara is going to ask that question. V'chacham emram, David tashlomim. The Chachamim say, what happens if you miss your meal? You miss your meal. That's it. You miss your meal. So, V'alzen emra muvas lo yuchal litkom v'chisar lo yuchal lihimanos. The Pasuk in Kohelet says that, look, there are certain mistakes that are undoable. Look, you make a mistake, right? Every mistake is fixable and correctable. No, that's fantasy. It's fairy tale. No, sometimes a mistake is undoable, right? The Gemara elsewhere says is that you have an affair. You have a child. The child is a mamzer. You can say sorry all you want. It's not gonna change the mistake that was made. The mistake is just simply unfixable. So over here, on a much lower level, but over here, you missed your meal. The Chachamim said, okay, you missed your meal. That's it. Nothing you can do about it. My time with the Rabbi Eliezer, we start off with an analysis of the sheet. The Rabbi Eliezer, you're supposed to have two meals a day. You're required to have two meals a day on Sukkot, 7 days, 14 meals in total. Where is this coming from? Where in the Torah does it say such? So my time at the Rebbe Elazar, Teshuv Kein Tadura. So again, we go back to a svara that's been prevalent now for the last couple of days, and that is the idea that the Torah says that we have to sit in the Sukkah, and the drasha is Kein Taduru. We sit in the Sukkah, B'sukkos Yamim Teshuvu, and the drasha is Kein Taduru. You're supposed to make this like your regular home. So, Madira Achas Bayam Achas Balayla, Sukkah Achas Bayam Achas Balayla. In your regular home, you're having two meals a day. Back in the day, they did not have three meals a day. Three meals a day is a more modern invention. I don't mean modern like 20th century, 21st century, but it's certainly relative to where they were, their eating habits back in the day. So it's a much more modern invention. Back then, they had two meals, a late breakfast, early lunch. And then they had supper. Those were the two meals of the day.
In your house, you're not forced to eat.
No, hold it. We're gonna come to that. So that is the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. V'rabanan kedira madira ibayachil ibaylo achil afsoka nami ibayachil ibaylo achil. And the Chachamim's counter argument is as follows: When you're home, no one's forcing you to eat. So it's the freedom and the luxury of being at home. You want to eat, that's great. You don't want to eat, that's also fine. No, you don't have to eat. So, and the same thing is true regarding sukkah. If you're going to treat your sukkah like your house, it's the same thing. You want to eat, you don't want to eat, it's up to you, it's fine. So, the Gemara says, okay, good. So then why is there a requirement and obligation to eat in the first night? So Amr of Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yosef Nemar Kan Chamisha Asar VeNemar Chamisha Asar VeChagamatzas Malahalan Laila Rishon Chova Mikan VeElach Rishus Afkan Laila Rishon Chova Mikan VeElach Rishus. So it's a Gzeira Shava. Two Yamim Tovim start on the 15th, right? Two of the three. So the of Regalim. starting the 15th of the month, and the Torah says 15th, and the Gemara links the two through Gzeirah Shavah. So that means now that we're going to take what we know regarding Pesach, and we're going to now apply it to Sukkot. What do we know regarding Pesach? So as far as the mitzvah of matzah is concerned, there's no requirement, there's no obligation to eat matzah over the duration of Pesach. However, the first night of Pesach, Seder night, there's an obligation. The pasuk says, Berev tochlu matzos. So now we're going to take that structure and we're going to move it over to Sukkot. On the first night of Sukkot, through the Gzeirah Shavah, via Gzeirah Shavah, we now know that you're obligated to eat at that first night in the Sukkah. After that, then we treat it like matzah on Pesach, which is voluntary, volitional. If you want to eat, you have to eat in the Sukkah, but you don't have to eat. Now, v'hasaminala mamakra, berev tochlu matzos, ha'kosav kavuchova. Good, and by Pesach, we know that there's a obligation to eat matzah the first night. The pasuk says, berev tochlu matzos, which means that's a chova that very first night. Okay, the Rashi over here, I'm not going to go through it inside, but Rashi over here goes through the drashas. How do we know that for the balance of Pesach, there's no obligation to eat matzah? It's based on a drasha, one of the Yugim Midos. You could see Rashi goes through it. Okay. Now, v'odam Rebbe Lazar, we are in the Gemara, two dots, about halfway down, and the Gemara now is really bothered trying to make sense of the Shita Rebbe Eliezer. So again, what do we know for Rebbe Eliezer? So far, we know that a person is obligated to eat two meals a day in the Sukkah for 7 days. Again, obviously, we don't passing like Rebbe Eliezer, but that's not our point right now. We want Havana, we want understanding in the Shita Rebbe Eliezer. So the Gemara says, now, he also is talking about Tashlumim at the end of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, what? V'ha amar Rebbe Eliezer arba esrei seudos chayiv adam lechol besukkah achas b'yom v'achas b'layla? So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. What is the obligation for Rebbe Eliezer? The obligation to have two meals a day on Sukkot in the Sukkah. In the Sukkah. So now, what bothers the Gemara, and this is Rashi's understanding. What bothers the Gemara now is as follows. So let's say you missed a meal on Sukkot. Okay, so you want that now. You have a makeup opportunity. So on Shmini Atzeres, so what are you going to do? You're going to make up your Sukkot meal on Shmini Atzeres? Now remember, on Sukkot, you have to be in the Sukkah. On Shmini Atzeres, you're not in the Sukkah. So now on Shmini Atzeres, you say, look, right? In other words, if you're a Rebbe Eliezernik, so you say, ugh, right? I didn't do my obligation. My obligation was to have 14 meals. And now what? Now I have 13 meals. So now what? So now on Shmini Atzeres, let me go into the Sukkah and let me make it up. Rashi over here says that this is now going to smack of Baal Tosif, right? In other words, on Shmini Atzeres, there's no mitzvah of Sukkah. And now you're going to go into the Sukkah? That's the question that's understood by Rashi. So Amar Bira Amar Rebbe Amichazer Bo Rebbe Eliezer. So the Gemara says like this. What happened was is that in the Mishnah, unbeknownst to us, Rebbe Eliezer ended up retracting his position. Now again, I'm going to present the Gemara like Rashi. I know Tosos over here is not going to give, it does not accept this presentation. But again, for the purposes of the daf and brevity and just keeping it as straightforward as possible, just present the Gemara like Rashi. And that is that what happened is that Rebbe Eliezer put out that position that you're supposed to have 14 meals in the Sukkah. He took it back. He took back that position. He ended up yielding and conceding that you only have to have one meal, the first meal. And on that.
No,
huh?
Because
the second, I understand your point, but the second half of the Mishnah, he's introducing Tashlumin. Right. So the steer is between the second half and the first half. So the Gemara therefore advances that he took back the first half. That's the, okay. There's more than one way to present the Gemara here. I'm just going to present it like Rashi. So he was chazar about that you don't have to have 14 meals. And that now gets us to the idea that there doesn't have to be 14 meals in the Sukkah. So now when you get to the, and now when he's talking about Hashlama, he's talking about the one meal that you missed. So the Gemara says, okay, so you missed a meal. And now, and by the way, right, based on this understanding of the Gemara, you missed your first meal, which is now over a week ago. And now you get to Simchas, and now, I'm sorry, Simchas Torah. Now you get to Shmini Atzeres, and now you're going to make it up according to Rebbe Eliezer. So the Gemara wants to know, Mashlam Amai. Okay. So now, on Shmini Atzeres, you're making up for the one meal that you missed. So now you're making it up with what? So ilema b'rifta. So what are you going to do? You're going to have bread now? Well, you know it is Shmini Atzeres. You know Shmini Atzeres is a yantav. You know you're required to eat bread on Shmini Atzeres. How is this going to be demonstrative of the fact that this is going to be serving as a makeup? So suda diyumakachel. So the b'rifta suda diyumakachel. So elamai yashlim yashlim b'mini targime. So the Gemara says, okay, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're going to have a non-bread meal. Now, Rashi over here says that that the non-bread meal is going to be made up of fruit or some cooked vegetable. Tanya na mihachi, we learned in the Brice as well. Limhishlam be mini tagima yatsa. That if you're a mashlam using mini tagima, so then you're going to be yotze. Okay. So that is the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So now, if we could try to give, let me just try to give a cohesive look at Rabbi Eliezer as the Gemara now is concluded. So it comes out now, according to Rabbi Elazar, even though he put out that you're supposed to be having 14 meals over the 7 days of Sukkot, but he takes it back. You only have to have one meal, but he's still going to be staying true to the idea that there needs to be a tashlumim. There needs to be a makeup. That makeup is going to be that if you miss the first meal, so you have chances, opportunities to make it up. Even on Shmini Atzeres, you can go ahead and you can make it up. On Shmini Atzeres, you'll also have a chova seuda. So fine, so you have your seuda on Shmini Atzeres, which obviously is going to satisfy your Shmini Atzeres requirement, and then on top of that, you're going to have another meal, a non-bread meal, mini targima, which will be serving as tashlamin.
What he could have done simply is bench for the suda, uh-huh. and then wash again.
Right. So it could be right. First of all, I accept that, and I'm not saying you're right, but I accept that. And if you look at the brisa that we just quoted, im hishlim b'minei targima, which seemed to indicate that that's not the only way you could be mashlim. Okay, I accept your suggestion. Okay, so Tosfos makes your point. The last Tosfos over there is that he's really bothered by Rashi. Rashi describes the b'minei targima as fruit, and meanwhile you don't have to eat that in the sukkah. Okay, good. You could see the Bam Tosfos is really bothered by that, exactly that point. Okay, Shal Apotropos Shal Agrippa Samelach as Rabbi Eliezer. So the CFO of Agrippa Samelach, the King Agrippus. So his chief financial officer. So he was a Jew. So and he asked Rabbi Eliezer the following: You know, I'm only used to eating one meal a day. And by the way, the way Rashi just presented it. Right, I'm not gonna go through Tosfos right now, but the way Rashi just presented it, it's really strange, meaning that he retracted from his two meals a day, and meanwhile now we're having back and forth between a nice Jew is trying to follow the halacha, and Rabbi Lazar is telling him you have to have two meals a day. It sounds really strange that he retracted from that position. Anyway, but that's the way Rashi presented it. Okay, anyway, so. So, look, I'm only used to having one meal a day. So how about this? On Sukkot, I'll have one meal a day. And good. And Rabbi Eliezer says, look, let's have a moment of honesty over here. Right? You have one meal a day. There's no snacking that goes on any other part of the day. Of course you're helping yourself. You're treating yourself to a little snack. So now on Sukkot. So lechvod konecha, right, for Akadosh Baruch Hu. So you can't consolidate all that snacking into another meal. Just have a second meal over the course of the day. It's not that hard, right? We all enjoy eating. Okay, so you'll do some. Okay, so Rabbi, the guy was looking for a heter. Rabbi Eliezer was not hearing of it. Okay, good. Another person goes over to Rabbi Eliezer and says, look, here's my problem. I have two wives, one in Tveri and one in Sipari. Now I know I could just stop the sentence right there and be like, okay, that's his problem. That was the setup. In other words, now comes Sukkot, and here's the problem. The problem is that he shuttles back and forth between his two houses and the two wives. I'd like to suggest, by the way, that right they know about each other. It's not like right. In other words, right. Then I'm not going to add any more drama. Okay, it just happens to be that he's now going to have a Sukkot halacha dilemma, and that is what. So two wives, two towns, two sukkahs. Now here's the problem. Can I go now mid sukkahs and bounce from one sukkah to another? and go from Tveria to Tzipori, or from Tzipori to Tveria. Now, it's funny. You and I would have answered, yeah, that's fine. So Amar lo, lo. And Rabbi Lazar's answer is extraordinarily definitive. Nope. Shani Omer, kol yotzei misukah lesukah, batal mitzvah shel rishona. As we're going to see in just a moment, according to Rabbi Eliezer, so you have to be a one sukkah person. You can, what? So you have to be a one sukkah person. And furthermore, right, the language over here is really strong, and Rashi says it really clearly, and that is that let's say you leave your sukkah mid-sukkahs, so not only are you not going to be mekayim the mitzvah in the next sukkah that you go into, even in the first sukkah that you sat in, that also was nothing. That totally is discounted as a kiyum ha-mitzvah.
So you can't try it on sukkahs?
That is correct. That's, again, all this is lefi shitas Rabbi Eliezer. So, no, Shani Omer, Kol HaYosim Yisukah L'Sukah Batal Mitzvah Sosh HaRosh Hashanah, Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer. The Gemara quotes the Braisa now that is going to explain, elaborate on this position. As we now turn to the Amud Beis, Ein Yotzim Yisukah L'Sukah, you cannot go and move from one sukkah to another. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have a really committed relationship to your sukkah. It's you and your sukkah. So Ve'ein Osin Sukkah B'Chol Shomoed. And you don't make a sukkah in Chol HaMoed, v'chacham ha-momrim, yotzi misukkah l'sukkah v'osin sukkah b'chol ha-shamoed. On both points, the chachamim disagree, the chachamim say no, that you go ahead and you can make a sukkah, you can build a sukkah in the middle of sukkahs, you can go ahead and jump from one sukkah to another, and you can build a sukkah in Chol HaMoed, v'shavim shim nafla shechazor abonim b'chol ha-shamoed. Now, what Rabbi Elazar will concede, the one point that he's going to concede, is that if your sukkah falls down mid-sukkahs, obviously, we're not talking about a yontif, but a chol hamoed, so you can rebuild that sukkah. In other words, we don't say panim chadashus baal lakan. It's a totally new entity. No, this is just simply a hamshacha of the sukkah that you built already. Okay, but according to Rabbi Elazar, what is clear is that on sukkahs you have one sukkah, and you are committed to that one sukkah. My time, just give me a moment. My time at the Rabbi Elazar, I'm a krachag sukkah tasalach shivas yamim. I say sukkah haruuya l'shiva. This sukkah has to be for 7 days. If this sukkah is not for 7 days, it's by definition not a sukkah. Now the Chachamim's counter argument is, no, that's not the interpretation of the pasuk, but rather, asei sukkah b'chag. All the Torah means is that you can build a sukkah on sukkahs. Again, not on yontif, but on chol hamoed. Meaning for whatever reason, you didn't build a sukkah prior to sukkahs, which obviously you should have done. So then you take the opportunity on chol hamoed to go ahead and build your sukkah. That's what the pasuk means. But the pasuk is not telling you that your sukkah has to be for 7 days, and anything short of that, and you get a zero. Okay, that's the machlokas. V'shav v'shim nafal shechol zerbonosa v'chol shomoi pshita ma'od etema hayachriti v'en l'shiva kamash v'lan. Or the Gemara goes to the Havamina, which I kind of already articulated, that I might have thought that according to Rabbi Eliezer, if your sukkah falls down and you rebuild it, panim chadash is ba'al lakan, that's what I might have thought. The chiddush is no. Okay, yeah. Question?
Presumably.
Yeah, correct. It's a, right? Right. Wait. It gets more. When we're done with today, the mitzvah of yeshiva besukah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is amazing. It's amazing. There's more coming. We're not done yet in terms of how committed you need to be to your sukkah. Okay. It's not a casual relationship for Rabbi Eliezer between a person and his sukkah. It is a real commitment, and we're not even done yet. Tanya, we learned in the Brice of Rabbi Eliezer, Makashem Shein Adam Yosei Dechavasim Yam Tavishon Shochag, Belulava Shochaver, Dechsiv, Lakachtam Lachem, Yamarishon, Priets Adar, Kapos Tamarim, Mishalachem, Kachin Adam Yosei Dechavasa, Besukasso Shochavero, Dechsiv, Chagasukas Tasalach, Shivas Yam, Mishacha. So Shitas Rabbi Eliezer is that you have to be the proprietor of your sukkah. You cannot borrow a sukkah. So over here now, we're not only talking about a commitment to the sukkah, we're talking about full ownership of the sukkah. That sukkah has to be yours. Just by Dalaminim, we're going to learn in the third perek, just coming up a couple days from now, that the Dalaminim have to be yours. You have to be the owner of the Dalaminim. It has to be Lachem. So too, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the sukkah has to be yours as well. If you recall, if you remember, on day one of the Masechta, so one of my introductions to the Masechta is that the two mitzvahs of sukkahs, the mitzvah of sukkah and the mitzvah of Dalaminim, and they're not connected. Okay. And I know many have the minhagim going in the morning on sukkahs to take the dalminim into the sukkah. It's a minhag. It's It's a beautiful minhag. I'm sure it's steeped in machshava. But nevertheless, it's a minhag. So here for the first time, and I think the only time we actually see somebody connects the two mitzvahs, right. Meaning Rabbi Eliezer saying that just like with dalaminim, there has to be ownership. So too by sukkah, there has to be ownership. Okay. So, but again, it cheats Rabbi Eliezer, which we happen not to paskin like. And the Chachamim say, no, there's no requirement of ownership when it comes to sukkah. Yes, we agree by dalaminim there's ownership, but not by sukkah. In fact, the Pasuk says that the entire Jewish people are going to be sitting besukkah achas. Now, it doesn't require that the entire Jewish people have to sit, but it's possible. Meaning what the Torah allows is for the entire Jewish people to be in one sukkah. And that shows, that's evidence of the fact that you don't need everyone to be an owner. Why not have everyone be a shareholder? Rashi over here writes, it's such a fun Rashi, it's an exciting Rashi. Rashi says that no, because based on the number of Jewish people that there are, and the fact that they're all going to be sitting in one sukkah, so Rashi says there's no way that anybody could have a shava pruta's worth in that one sukkah. And comes out from that Rashi, that if you're a shareholder with less than a shava pruta, you're not an owner. Right? What does that mean in terms of Rashi and penny stocks? Okay, fine. Okay, fine. I understand. That's right. But the Chachamim are understanding it from a halachic framework. V'rabbanan halacha maidarshi bay. Now the class, here we go, classic back and forth. So now it does say chag sukkah tasa lach. So what do the Chachamim do with that? So mibay lelamute gzula aval sheula ksiv kol ezrach. So it comes to exclude a sukkah gzula. We did this back on daf tes. So we're going to be right the sukkah gzula topic. Wait, back on Daf Tes, right? And the relationship, remember back on Daf Tes, we asked the question, what about Mitzvah Baba Avera? That was Tosos over there, right? That last Tosos on Testament Aleph. Anyway, good. So there is a, but as far as the Chachamim are concerned, that's the Drasha. It has nothing to do with the fact that it has to be your Sukkah. V'Rabbi Eliezer, I call Ezrach my Avidlei. So now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, what does he do with Kol Ezrach? So me by Leila Gersh and his guy Bain Time, Bekatan, Shediskata Bain Time. So we have somebody who converts in the middle of sukkah, so how do I know that he's obligated? So, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it really is an excellent question. Meaning, in other words, for him, sukkah has to be a 7-day commitment. Anything less than that, it's not a sukkah. So it's really fantastic. Meaning, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're bar mitzvah in the middle of sukkah, so maybe you can't fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer gains from the pasuk of Kol Ezrach. Mm-hmm. Every citizen, even if you become a citizen mid sukkah, i.e., you convert in the middle of sukkahs, i.e., you become a gadol in the middle of sukkahs, you're still going to be required to sit in the sukkah. For Rabbi Eliezer, that's a tremendous chiddush. Now, according to the Chachamim, as the Gemara is about to point out, it's obvious. If according to the Chachamim, you can build a sukkah in the middle of sukkahs, so it goes without saying that if you convert in the middle of sukkahs, if you become a gadol in the middle of sukkahs, it's mamash a no-brainer. Okay. So now, let's put every sheet of Rabbi Eliezer together. Okay, number one, you have to have 14 meals in the sukkah. Okay, he may have retracted from that position. According to Rashi, he did retract from that position. Good, that's number one. Number two, you must be in a sukkah for all 7 days. In one sukkah for all 7 days. Number three, you have to own that sukkah according to Rabbi Eliezer. And if you don't own that sukkah, so then also you're not mekayim the mitzvah of sukkahs. Now, I wonder, but I'm in wonderful company because Tosfos wonders the same thing as well. Again, we don't follow like Rabbi Eliezer, so all this is, you know, it's Torah, but lo la halacha. But according to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, you have a family. Can your kids sit in your sukkah? Meaning for Rabbi Eliezer, you need ownership of the sukkah. Okay. So that means, right? In other words, when it comes to dalaminim, such a wonderful question. When it comes to dalaminim, so everybody needs their own dalaminim. He's my son. Okay, he's my son. That's wonderful. He needs his own dalaminim. Does that mean, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he needs his own sukkah as well? So Tosfos doesn't know. V'tema in the second Tosfos, a long one. So about 3/4 of the way down. V'tema de la Rabbi Eliezer de by sukkah shalachem. Okay, Ve'echad? Maybe. Maybe everyone needs their own sukkah, even in the family. Just imagine your backyard, right? With sukkahs abound. V'shema have marbi midechsiv teshvu kein taduru. Maybe, according to Rabbi Eliezer, so there's an argument to make that, you know, you have to sit in your sukkah like you sit in your house. Like, no, in your house, there's no, right, there are no houses for every member of your family. It's one house for the family. Maybe for Rabbi Eliezer, that's how you darshan by sukkahs as well. Anyway, good. It's a struggle to really wrap our heads around what is the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, but anyway, like I said in the beginning, for Rabbi Eliezer, the commitment to the sukkah is an unbelievable commitment. A really, like, It's a difficult commitment. In fact, we're going to go on in the Gemara and we're going to see how difficult it is. Tan Rabbanan. Maisa Rabbi Elisha halach l'akbal pani Rabbi Elazar rabba belud berego. So, Rabbi Eli goes and visits his Rabbi Eliezer. And on Yontif, on Sukkos. So, Amar lo Eli, incha mishov se arego. And Rabbi Eliezer, I'm sure there was a hello, how are you? It's so nice that you came and visited me. Meaning, let's put all the formalities in there. And then Rabbi Eliezer says, and oh, by the way, what are you doing here? No, what'd you do? You left your sukkah to come here? That, you're not allowed to do that. Shahaya Rabbi Eliezer, Amrim Shabeach, Ani Esat Slanim, Shein Yotzimi Batim Beregel, Dichtiv V'samachta Atavei Secha. Rabbi Eliezer says, I love lazy people. Now, of course, he's not praising the attribute of being lazy. In fact, right, one of the growths of being a human being is not to be lazy. And okay, and we got to fight it. But on Yontif, however, this is the way Rashi understands it. I'm basically saying over Rashi. But on Sukkos, it happens to be that it's good to be lazy on Sukkos. You don't feel like leaving your house? Good. Don't leave your house on Sukkos. Stay in your house. And you're required to do so. And by the way, the drasha over here is not just limited to Sukkos, meaning it would be true by every Yontif. It's better to stay, not better, it's required to stay in your house. So, So the Gemara says, wait one second. What do you mean there is no mitzvah? There's a mitzvah to go see a Rebbe on Yontif. The Gemara quotes over here by the Isha Shunamis, who lost her son, and she's visiting the Navi Elisha, and the curiosity over there. It's not Rosh Chodesh. It's not Shabbos. And the Gemara is assuming that certainly on Yontif, there's a mitzvah to go visit your Rebbe. So, Mechlal, the Bechodesh v'Shabbos, Mechai v'Nish l'akbulei api Rabbe. That on a Shabbos, on Rosh Chodesh, you have to go visit your Rebbe. And again, the Gemara is assuming that Kavachomer on Yontif as well. So Lokasha, Hadazav Asabi Yume, Hadazav Alasabi Yume. So Rabbi Eliezer would say, look, here's my position. It's really straightforward. And that is that if leaving your house and visiting your Rebbe is going to mean that you're going to lose a night at home with your wife. No, that you can't do. If your Rebbe happens to be in town, and you're going to go visit him, and you can be back home by tonight, fine. So then there's a mitzvah to be makba p'nei rabba. Good. Tana Rabbanan, more regarding Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, as much as it is not accepted halacha, but the Gemara spends a lot of time with the Shita. Tana Rabbanan, Maisa, be Rabbi Eliezer, Sheshabbos begala halyam, besikoso shal Yochanan, be Rabbi Eli, be Kesari, be Amilei, be Kisaryon. So there was an episode, an incident once where Rabbi Eliezer was up in the upper Galilee and he was in the sukkah of Yochanan bar Rabbi Eli. Already, right, our antenna should go up immediately. What is he doing in somebody else's sukkah? Hold that thought. V'igia chama l'sukkah. And now the sun is beating down. And now Amar lahu, so Rabbi Yochanan asks Rabbi Eliezer, I want to put up a sheet. In other words, basically, I want to put up a curtain. The sun is beating down. Now, aside from the fact that it may negate the sukkah, but over here, as far as the halachic query is concerned, it really deals with an issue of being mosif al habinyan. You have a building, and you want to now put up a shutter. You want to put up a curtain. Is that going to be a violation of binyan b'shabbos? That was the question that was posed to Rabbi Eliezer. What his answer was is, I'd rather not say. Amalu Moshe Afrosal of Sadin? That was the question. Amalu Ein Lecha Kol Shevet V'Shevet Mi'Yisrael Shelo Ein Mimenu shofate. Do you know that there was a shofate of every tribe? Now, of course, the answer had nothing to do with the question, and that's exactly the point. He's evading the question. Really fun Rashi over here, which I'm not going to go through. Rashi goes ahead and assigns every shofate to one of the tribes. Rashi does admit at the end that he was not successful in identifying a shofate from the tribes of Gad and Asher. Reuven, Shimon, Gad, and Asher. Okay, so there are a couple that he was unable to assign. But anyway, there's a shofet from every tribe. That's wonderful information, having nothing to do with the question. Higiacham lechatzi asukah. Now it's just getting hotter. So Amar lo Moshe afros alas sadin. And now Rav Yochanan's begging Rabbi Elazar, could you please answer my question? Like I want to throw up a curtain. Yes, no, please. Amar lo ein lechal kol sheva v'sheva Yisrael shelo yatsu mimenu neviim. So, Shevet Yehuda v'Yamin hamidu malachim al pi neviim. So and once again, he's talking about now how there were neviim from every shevet, and Yehuda and Binyamin had malachim that were set up by neviim. Okay, lovely. Having nothing to do with the question, and again, he's avoiding. He gechamal lamargilasav shel Rebbe Eliezer. So Nata Yochanan Sadnu appears alah. So and finally the sun is directly overhead. Right, they're just baking in the sun. And so Rav Yochanan said, enough already. So he takes out the sheen and he adds it now, and he throws it up there to block the sun. And Hivshel Rabbi Eliezer Talisa Lachor V'yasa, and Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, good, check please. And he goes ahead now and he leaves the sukkah. Lo mimneshi yiflig b'dvarim. He wasn't trying to be difficult. Ela mimneshi shlo amar davar shlo shama mipi rabo. So lo olam. It's just that if he didn't hear something from his Rebbe, he wouldn't say it over. So in other words, he did not want to innovate. He did not want to advance a position. If he had a Masorah, fine. If he didn't have a Masorah, he simply would not say it over. That's why he didn't answer the question.
What did he say? What could he tell him that?
Yeah. And so there must be, in other words, in the answers that he gave, there must be some coded messaging. And so good. So, you and I don't speak this language, but there must have been some coded messages in the answers that he actually gave. Even though for you and I, it just seems like he's avoiding the question. Now, so the Gemara now asks a simple question. What is he doing in somebody else's sukkah? You're not allowed to do that. So regel acher havai. So the Gemara's first answer, really simple. It wasn't sukkahs. It was some other yontif. Let's call it Shmini Atzeres. Rashi does. So let's call it Shmini Atzeres. Okay, so in other words, it wasn't sukkahs. Either we're in a sukkah. Yeah, sometimes it's comfortable to be in a sukkah. And as evident from the story, sometimes it's just simply not comfortable to be in the sukkah. So the Gemara says, now, again, just one second. Even if it's another yontif, you got to be home with your wife, right? Rabbi Eliezer says, Meshabech ani esatzlanim. The lazy person, so again, there's laziness in general, don't like. Anyantiv, love it. You got to be home with your wife, Anyantiv. So the Gemara says, Shabbat Havai. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay. So next adjustment. It wasn't a Yantiv, it was Shabbos. So the Gemara says, V'tif shulaymi didei didnan. So we want to know now, can you put up a curtain? So, and the issue is just a Shabbos question of, is it binyan? Is that considered an act of building? Gemara says, I know the answer. Let's go back to what we learned in the Mishnayos and Shabbos. The shutter. Can I throw the shutter up into the window frame on Shabbos? Rabbi Eliezer says, yes, but only if number one, it's tied to the wall. Number two, it's so taut that it's hanging from the wall. Then and only then can you put the shutter in. Otherwise, it would be an act of binyan. So the Chachamim and Binkach and Binkach Bokagin, the Chachamim take a more makel position. But anyway, isn't the answer obvious that for Rabbi Eliezer, you're not allowed to do so? Okay, so the Gemara says, Hasam hu demavato. So the Gemara says, well, maybe there's a distinction to be made between the mission over there in Shabbos and our discussion over here. Over there, you're mevatole. You put the shutter in. If it's not already been tied and not already hanging off the wall, So then you put it in there. You're going to leave it over there. That's an act of binyan. But over here, you're putting up the curtain. You're going to take it down. It's not the same. It's not comparable. So even though Rabbi Elazar's position is really clear regarding a shutter, but that doesn't mean that doesn't translate to our case over here. So that's why Rabbi Elazar wouldn't say because he simply didn't know. He then ended up leaving the sukkah. Okay, so he was being machmir. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the daf. Let's quickly review. A lot of information today. We started off this morning by talking about how they were Tanayim, even though they were not having a Seudas Keva, but they were Machmer, and they went into the Sukkah. Rav Yochim ben Zakkai, Rabbi Gamliel, so a Seudas arrived, but they took upon themselves a Chomra. You're allowed to do so? Yes, in this case, you're allowed to do so. It does not smack of religious arrogance. This is not you, Ara. The Gemara pointed out that Rabbi Tzadok helped himself to 3 kulas when he ate less than a kibbutz. Number one, he didn't wash his hands. Number two, he ate outside the sukkah. Number three, he didn't bench. All 3 positions are not accepted, but those are the positions of Rabbi Tzadok. The Gemara pointed out number one, it's not arrogant to go ahead and be machmir in terms of achila b'sukkah, achilas rai b'sukkah. The halach encourages you to do so, to be machmir. And number two, by virtue of the fact that Rabbi Tzadok ate a less than a kibbutzah outside the sukkah, that would seem to indicate that a kibbutzah would require sukkah, and ostensibly that is against the shita of Rav Yosef of yesterday's daf. Rav Yosef says that what is considered arai, 2 or 3 beitzim. Meanwhile, our Mishnah says that 1 beitzah already is considered keva. So it sounds like our Mishnah is going against Rav Yosef. The Gemara defends Rav Yosef. We opened up our Mishnah and Chavzayin Amad Aleph with a machlokus, a fundamental machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim regarding 14 meals. Is there a requirement of 14 meals to eat in the sukkah that she does Rabbi Elazar, 2 meals a day? And the Chachamim say no. The only thing that's required is only the first night of sukkahs, but the rest of sukkahs, it's all volitional, it's optional. The second issue is Teshlamim. If you missed a meal in the sukkah, you can make it up on the last day of Sukkot, what we call Shmini Atzeres. In other words, there's Tashlamim according to Rabbi Elazar. And the Chachamim said, no, there's no Tashlamim. Either you ate your Seuda on the first night, or you didn't. And if you didn't, nothing can do about it. The Gemara goes through what exactly is the back and forth between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer regarding the requirement of 14 meals. The Gemara then says that Rabbi Elazar talks about a makeup. What are you talking about? You're supposed to have the 14 meals in the sukkah, and now you're making it up on Shmini Atzeres outside the sukkah. How does that work? And the Gemara ends up saying that Rabbi Elazar was chozer bo. He retracted. What did he retract from? So Rashi says he retracted from his position that you're supposed to have 14 meals. It's only the first meal that one is obligated to eat. Why is there an, I missed this in terms of the Chazara. Why is there an obligation to have that for the first meal as opposed to all other meals? Gzeirah Shavah from Pesach. Pesach, we know there's a chiv to eat matzah on the first night. Same thing with sukkahs. There's a chiv to eat in the first night in the sukkah. The remaining portion of today's daf, starting on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph to basically where we got to, was an iyun in the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. This idea behind Rabbi Elazar that not only he's supposed to have 14 meals, which he may have retracted from, not only is there an opportunity of tashlemim, but on top of that, you must be sitting in the same sukkah for all 7 days. If you leave your sukkah mid-sukkahs to transfer to another sukkah, that's it. You lost on sukkah number 2, you even lost on sukkah number 1. According to Shita's Rabbi Eliezer, you are not allowed to build a sukkah for the first time in the middle of sukkahs. It's not a sukkah l'shiva. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you must own your sukkah. Just like there's a lachem requirement, an ownership requirement of the dalminim, so too there's an ownership requirement by the sukkah as well. Chachamim disagree on this very point. There's no requirement to own a sukkah. You could borrow somebody else's sukkah. The Gemara goes through the back and forth. For Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, not only on sukkahs, but on every yontif, be an atzlan, be lazy, and stay in your sukkah and not even on other yamim tovim, right? The pasuk says v'samachta ata uveisecha. You have to be with your wife for the duration of yontif, and so therefore you're not allowed to leave. What about the mitzvah of kabbalas panei rabo? Yeah, if he's in town and you're able to visit him and make it back home, so then go visit your rabbi. Otherwise, No, don't go visit your Rebbe. Stay home. And finally, the last thing that we discussed, Rabbi Elazar, was in somebody else's sukkah. The obvious question, how can that be? We clarified. It wasn't sukkahs. It wasn't the yontif sukkahs. It wasn't even another yontif. It was a Shabbos. But they happened to have been that they had the meal out there in the sukkah. And the question now becomes, can we put a sheet up? And is that going to be a violation of binyan on Shabbos? Rabbi Elazar, deflected. Did not give an answer, and because he did not have a Masorah, and if he didn't have a Masorah, so what is he going to do? He's going to innovate, he's going to come up with an answer. That's not his style. His style is that he only says something if you heard it from his Rebbe. If he didn't hear from his Rebbe, he simply wouldn't say. And finally, after being asked repeatedly, so Rebbe, the Rebbe Yochanan, the owner of that particular sukkah, he ended up putting up a sheet, and Rebbe Eliezer says, okay, thank you, I'll see you later.